You're listening to NGSC Sports Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, here in studio. The house is full. We, of course, have the personality of the show, Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Lufa Hurley, of course, the local hero as well, Chris Rankin, in studio. He does his thing from the station every now and again, but hey, not every day can he, you know, keep Sumter County safe from fire and natural disaster as he does on his own occasions. Look, let's put it this way. You were trying to help coach your daughter sliding softball, right?
Yeah, softball.
Boom. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, yeah, because coaching. I mean, someone has to do it because Jason Garrett won't. Whoa! Jason Garrett smack to open the show. You got to love it. I don't know. Anyways, guys, there's something I need a little help with, and maybe you guys can shed some light here, because we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but I want to do it quickly. You know, not going to take more than a couple minutes. Last week's Monday night game, we had the whole out of the end zone thing with the officials. Weasel's looking at me very intently. That means I'm going to go to you first.
Well, you're just talking about, so, yeah. Calvin Johnson was Seahawks versus Lions.
Yes.
And Calvin Johnson catches a pass, I think it was like a 10-yard, 12-yard pass or so, going into the end zone to take the lead.
Until?
And then you have one Cam Chancellor.
That's right.
The guy who said, I want more money.
And here's why.
Their defense looks a lot better with him. But pretty much at the 1-yard line, Megatron, not so much, he got the ball punched out into the end zone, and then you have, I think, was it Bobby Wagner, or I forgot who it was.
No, it was not Bobby Wagner, but it was a linebacker.
It was a linebacker for Seattle that, in the back of the end zone, he just went,
right,
and punched the ball out of the end zone.
He hits the ball out of the end zone, right.
I think there's a way he could have did that to make it not so obvious.
He could have, not touched it and just let it go out of bounds and without even having this discussion for the past week.
The thing about it is that some way that the ball could bounce in a crazy way, and he made
or
sure
just
that
recover,
you know,
the stupid thing. How about that? Or at least pretend to try to recover it, because then you're not breaking a rule. It's that simple.
Pretty much the problem with the whole thing was that it was obvious he punched the ball out of bounds, but the referees didn't say anything about that, and it makes you wonder did the refs know that rule.
Okay, well, let me stop that right there, because everyone keeps asking the question, did they know the rule? The guy knew the rule. You see him start to reach for his flag. He makes a conscious decision not to throw it. You can see that. He reaches for his belt. He's about like, I'm not.
NFL refs hate the Lions. I remember. I'm going to keep it in.
No, NFL refs love the Seahawks, because remember, inaccurate reception this time last year. Bingo. And so, yeah, they don't hate the Lions. They just love the Seahawks. Golden Tate, however, in the very interesting position of being on the winning side one time and the losing side the next. Obviously, him being on the losing side, very different reaction in this particular Monday night edition. I don't know. Chris, wrap it up. What do you think?
Yeah, it's, you know, officiating has just been bad on these end of the season games. They don't want to take, you know, be like, well, we threw a flag just to change the outcome of a game, which it should be.
Well,
or throw the flag originally and then talk about it with them. Like, well, he batted the ball out.
Because you can always pick it up if you actually decide not to follow through. There's that. And we'll leave out the part where 3 years ago they get a $40,000 a year raise and a pension for a part-time job. We'll leave that out.
They can always make the play of saying, oh, yeah, there's no flag for batting the ball out of the end zone like they do before. Oh, there's no call, no flag for pass interference, or no flag for holding like they were originally calling for it.
Well, here's what I can say is, when I saw it, people are like, did you even know the rule? I knew you couldn't intentionally bat the ball out of bounds. Could I tell you that it was a penalty? No. Could I have told you that the Lions would have retained possession? No. But what I can tell you is that yellow should have hit the field. It didn't. The back judge is poised on this thing like it's something out of a Key and Peele sketch. And he's just staring at it. Kind of like this. You know, for the Periscope viewers. He had his eyes right on it. And nothing. Except for a reach for the belt. to change his mind very poorly.
I think the main thing to take from it, though, is that none of that would have happened if Cam Chancellor did not cause the fumble against Calvin Johnson. So you could have a Lions get the ball by, you know, punching the ball out, and you have a penalty there. But the thing is that he was right there on the doorstep to take the lead, and he fumbled it away. The other is like, it's like people want to know, like, you punch it, whatever. But I just look at it like they had the shot to win.
So you're legitimately, because he would have had the first down. I'm fairly certain
he would. He was at like the 1 yard line, literally.
Well, no, I understand that, but so, he would have, he had the first down. Should he have tried to reach for the end zone?
Of course, yeah. You try to reach for the end zone, yeah. It's, you try to get the really? Score.
You're the Lions' offense, you got to reach for the end zone okay. this year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because if he doesn't make that lunge, we don't have that punched ball.
If he, you know, hit the gym and held on to the football, maybe.
Oh, no, you did!
I'm just saying.
I don't. In fairness, like, Cam Chancellor, from his perspective, came out of nowhere. So, I mean, there is that. And here's the biggest problem with that play, aside from the facts that the refs, you know, stink, like Chris said. We talked entirely too much about that and not enough about Cam Chancellor making a play. Bingo. Anyway, speaking of another team that needed more plays, the Houston Texans among them. Colts Texans Thursday night, Chris.
The Colts, once again, were without their franchise quarterback, took the field with Matt Hasselbeck, and this time did not need a comeback as they beat division rival Houston Texans 27-20. The quarterback position was questionable this week for the Colts as Andrew Luck's shoulder status was uncertain, and Hasselbeck didn't practice all week for being sick. But he got the job done with the help of newly acquired veteran players who finally showed up that were struggling earlier in the season, also with the help of a heavily penalized, struggling Texas defense. More on the penalties later. Frank Gore had 22 carries for 98 yards with a touchdown. And Andre Johnson, after his 0 catches the past 2 weeks, had 2 touchdowns on 6 catches for 77 yards. And T.Y. Hilton had 5 for 88. For the Texans, Ryan Mallett got the start, but he took himself out of the game in the second quarter after he took a big hit and got his panties in a wad.
Wadded panties. Essential to any football game.
All right. So in came Brian Hoyer, who would lead his team to a field goal. And then right before half, he threw a Hail Mary that was caught by rookie wide receiver out of Arizona State, Jalen Strong, for a touchdown. His first catch of his career. I mean, did you guys look at this play?
Well, yeah. Four
Colts players ran into each other and just let him go up for the ball.
Yeah. Well, and here's what it is. Yeah, it's not so much that they let him. It's because they were busy knocking each other over.
But they forgot that there was a football game going on.
Yeah, exactly. It was some Keystone Cops crap.
It was like they got together in like in the end zone for a huddle. Like, hey, who are you going to text during halftime? You know?
Yeah.
What are you going to tweet about? I'm going to tweet about this.
Bingo. It's oh, my God. Oh, football. And well, you mentioned his first catch being a touchdown. Yeah. Jalen Strong. Am I going to take it away? Go ahead. You are. Do it.
Strong would get a second catch in the second half for his second career touchdown.
There you go.
Yes, that is 2 catches, 2 touchdowns.
Bingo.
Hoyer would finish the game 24 for 31, 312 yards with 2 touchdowns and an INT. The INT came at the end of the game trying to make a play. He was hit and released the ball, and he was like a 500 ball right to safety Mike Adams.
The funniest part, if you saw Bill O'Brien's face, I think it was like he had his hands here, it's just to say, why? You know,
Yeah.
And it's a good question. Why did you throw that?
Before Mallett had wadded panties.
Wadded panties.
He had an interception on the opening drive for the Texans that they went down the field, and he threw the ball a little behind Arian Foster, which he probably should have caught the ball. Kind of, you know, had a little heat on the ball, but it was deflected in the hands of Mike Adams for his first interception.
Boom.
Arian Foster, second week back from injury, had 41 yards on the ground, but he had 77 receiving yards on 9 catches. DeAndre Hopkins led all receivers with 11 catches for 169 yards.
All right. That's appropriate for an all right.
I believe so.
Okay, fair enough.
For difference of the game, really, penalties, 13 for 125 for the Texans. Three of those extended a drive, which was a face mask and two pass interference calls that led to the Colts' touchdown to seal the victory. Also, red zone, Colts were 3 for 4, Texans were 1 for 3, and then the turnovers were a factor as 2 were for the Texans and none for the Colts.
So, I mean, it's another AFC South team missing an opportunity, right? Hasselbeck starting again, and we got nothing. So, anyways, I don't know. This thanks to this, basically the Colts are still in command of division. They could have very well been dead in the water on. I believe, what is it? We have 2 1-3 teams there now? Or is it 3 1-3 teams? I don't know. What are the Titans doing?
Yeah, Titans are 1-3, right?
So there you go.
Jags are 1-3. Texans 1-3, right?
Or going into this week, they were 1-3, right, is what we should say.
Yes.
At any rate, I don't know. Maybe there was a... Go ahead, Weasel. Got the inquisitive look of Steven Weasel. Weasel Weas!
Yeah, boy!
That's the inquisitive version. Go ahead.
Would y'all say there... I'm being serious here.
Bring it.
Is there, like, a quarterback controversy that may brew? Because Hasselbeck's doing decent.
Stop it!
I'm just saying.
No! No! That is a bad Weasel! No!
Well, you know...
I have a whole bag of right here with your name on it. No. You're going to... Really? Matt Hasselbeck? Really?
Yeah.
Really? Gonna go raid a nursing home for a starting quarterback in Indianapolis? Really?
What it comes down to is W's.
And as in wadded panties?
And what was that?
Listen. Hasselbeck is 40 years old.
Now you got Chris. I'm going to sit back.
He's been enjoying his job the last 2 years being Andrew Luck's backup, because he's like, look, I'm getting a paycheck. I'm 40 years old. I'm getting too old for this stuff.
But the Murtaugh rule,
right?
Bingo.
And so he wants to go back to the backup role because, you know, he is the most loved person. Because even if he goes, Andrew Luck's starting this week against the Patriots. Andrew Luck struggles. Matt Hasselbeck looks like great, fans love always the backup quarterback until he takes the field.
Matt Hasselbeck is magic, man. I have no idea what that means, but of course, our man Ralph Garcia watching here on Periscope, I have no idea what that means, but hey, now he knows. I see all what he did. It's okay. Go ahead, Weasel.
I would just say, do you go with the guy that was 1-2 record? He had only 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, lost a fumble, 56% passing.
Weasel, those numbers are lying to you.
Why? Because
what teams did Matt Hasselbeck have to play against? Go ahead, I'll wait.
Jacksonville and Houston.
Okay. And combined this year, they have how many wins?
Combined? Well, they don't.
Combined, they have how
all
many wins?
All I'm saying is do you? I guess you're taking out the 40-year-old guy, and you're putting in back Andrew Luck. We'll see how he does.
Now, I'll meet you in the middle here. In light of the schedule and what it is, you don't rush Andrew Luck back. That's cool.
Yeah.
But don't tell me about... No. No. No.
We'll see what happens next game.
We shall see. So, and actually, that's interesting. I don't know what the status is on Luck's shoulder, but...
They said I'll be ready for the Patriots this week.
More like the Patriots will be ready for them. More on that in the study hall. Weasel Weez. Arizona, Detroit, go.
The Lions at home got crushed by the Cardinals 42-17. The Lions remain as the only winless team in the NFL. The Lions ended the first quarter up 7-0. And then reality set in as the Cardinals scored 28 points in the second quarter alone. You got Lions quarterback Matt Stafford. Went 20 of 32, 188 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 INTs.
Oops.
And after that third INT, you kind of know you're not doing very well. When you get benched in the middle of the third quarter,
you get
in favor of quarterback Dan Orlovsky.
The last time we heard that name, I think, was surrounding Manning's departure from the Colts, and Orlovsky played some games. He might have come in once or twice since then. I don't know, but... I could be completely wrong there. The point is, it was a rough day. I mean, complete domination by the Cardinals, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else you got on that, but let me throw this around, because I've heard multiple people say it already, and, you know, if Periscope people out there have a comment on this, go for it. But Calvin Johnson, is he true or false? Pop quiz. Calvin Johnson, top receiver in the NFL.
No.
Without hesitation. Like, I didn't even get a chance to finish breathing in asking that question.
This year, no. This year, no.
Oh, okay. Caveat.
Like two years ago, yes. He was top receiver.
So what season does? Well, apparently
he was hurt last year. So after the injuries, he hasn't been the same.
Interesting.
I'll say this. I was going to do this at the end of the game, but
I'll just say
that Megatron did have 5 catches for 67 yards. And
no, it's not over.
Let's get back to this.
Go, knock it down.
I'm going to finish the rest of the stuff. So Cardinals quarterback Carson Palmer, 11 of 14, 161 yards and 3 touchdowns. Running back Andre Ellington, back from injury, rushing for a 63-yard touchdown. Rookie David Johnson has 2 red zone touchdowns. And one of the top running backs in the NFL yards-wise, I think it's a top 5, one Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson. So it's interesting. Okay, so we talk about Chris Johnson. And follow me on this, guys. Arizona, their mascot is the Cardinals. That's a red bird, but a different red bird for Chris Johnson, because he's like the phoenix rising from the ashes, right? Anybody? Yeah. No.
Yeah, he was out of a job for a while.
See, Weasel feels it. Why you gotta hate Chris? Anyway, keep going, man.
So, David Johnson did have 2 red zone touchdowns, while you got wide receiver John Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, tight end Daniel Fells, each had touchdown receptions, as Lions wide receiver Lance Moore did, and running back Theo Riddick.
So basically, if you had Carson Palmer on your fantasy team, boom. By the way, speaking of players with age, Phoenix, and all that, receiver currently leading in touchdown receptions. Anybody?
Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald! It's almost like as if that question was relevant.
And all the announcers said that he's too old to play.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
Hey, that's why.
Before the season.
Yeah. But we didn't say that.
But what's helped Arizona this game was because they got John Brown finally back.
That's true. That definitely couldn't hurt.
And so, also, they're pissed about losing last week.
I think that's an element. So, we good there?
When you have, you have the contracts for, one, Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford.
Yes.
Now, the cap hit this year for the Lions for Stafford, $17 million. For Calvin Johnson this year was about $20 million in 2016 and 2017, $24 million and $21 million
That's a
for
lot
Calvin Johnson.
Cap. So wait, is that just in 2015?
2015 is $20 million, $20.5 million.
So two players, $45 million, basically.
Yeah. So yeah, $24 million in 2016, but Stafford was $17 million. And then next season, it's going to be $22.5 million. That's between... That stuff is going to be between two players that are getting on the downside, possibly, of their careers.
$45 million for two players.
Like, Stafford was guaranteed $41.5 million, and Calvin Johnson was guaranteed $53.2
million.
Well, I mean,
the life of the contract doesn't help me in 2015, but what that does mean is those two players at $45 million, what the obvious remedy is going to be? Fire Coach Caldwell.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be...
That's obviously a joke.
They're going cap hell.
Yeah.
I don't know how you talk about the end of their careers. I mean, Matt Stafford is only 27. He's only 7 years in. He's only 27 years old.
Meanwhile, in context, Eli Manning is, what, 34? Peyton Manning is 40 or damn near it. Tom Brady is 40 or damn near it. I mean, yeah, there's that. I don't know. Anyways.
Gonna need a new fresh start somewhere. Just saying.
Calvin Johnson's 30. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's hitting the big 3-0. It's not exactly like the big 3-0, right? See what I did? That's ridiculous. Anyways, as football years go, that is pretty up there. Whatever. Speaking of things that are up there, the Patriots point total at the moment 30-6, dominating the Cowboys. Look, I gotta give them credit. Holding Rob Gronkowski to a single catch in the first half, impressive. Unfortunately, they couldn't maintain that as Rob Gronkowski comes out finally. Their first scoring drive, Gronk basically manhandles the defense and again opens the ball up for the rest of that team. I'm saying it again. Sure, Tom Brady's great. I'm still calling Rob Gronkowski the MVP of the Patriots offense. That's right, I said it. Rob Gronkowski. Anyways, Gronk. I said so. No, moving on, but like Edelman had his shots, of course. If he was your fantasy quarter receiver, four catches for 120 yards and a touchdown. But when it comes down to it, look, Brandon Whedon just can't score enough points on his own. I mean, they John Randall went 15 for 60. Darren McFadden had 5 carries. That's 20 times they ran the football. In the first half, the game's still close. In the early part of the second half, the game's still close. Now, were they going to be able to win in a situation with a shootout with Brady? No, I don't think so. We none of us picked them having a shot in this game earlier on. But again, straying from the formula, killing this group. The Cowboys managed to sack the Patriots. And what was it? 5 sacks in one half? Greg Hardy getting involved early on, much to the chagrin of many people. But who knows? I don't know. So, I mean, obviously, the red zone percentage tells it all here. Twice the Cowboys were in the red zone. Neither time did they come away with a touchdown. I mean, I'll be honest, I could probably make more points about this game, but I'll just move on to this. Considering the fact, see, it's going to be an awesome segue. Check this out. Considering the fact they just got work by the Patriots, should they consider former Patriot Matt Castle starting instead of Brandon Weasel?
One more time.
So should Matt Castle start for the Cowboys instead of Brandon Whedon?
Yeah, I think they should go for
Castle. Oh, he's burning Brandon Castle, Whedon. Yeah. Chris.
You know, these 2 weeks with Brandon Whedon, I don't think he was that bad. I mean, he's 26 for 39. I mean, that's 67%. He's not bad if you call him for a backup. Yeah, he's 0-12. And he's never won a game.
Well,
but
that part is Jason Garrett's fault because they should have beaten the Falcons. They strayed from the game plan. They stopped running the football in the fourth quarter. That ain't his fault.
I mean, he threw an interception yesterday, but I mean, he was 16 for 26 against the Saints for 246 yards of a touchdown.
Right.
22 for 26 against Atlanta. Actually, he's 23 for 26 because he did throw an interception. But I mean, his percentages are pretty good. I mean,
it's
you got to look
completion.
At you got to look at, you know, he's out Dunbar right now, who's leading, you know, check down guy
right.
for him. You know, Montez Bryant, you know, Jason Witten's got out of their age. They can double team him, and he's not as good as he was. Cole Beasley. You got Terrence Williams, who dropped 2 passes of Whedon's yesterday. One was in the end zone.
Yeah.
So,
it's Brandon Whedon's fault. Brandon Whedon, the new Tony Romo.
That's because he's 0 for 12 in his career. But I don't.
Still not as bad as Chris Winkie.
I don't think, you know, going with Matt Castle would be an improvement.
So, yeah. Weasel. Nah, I don't even know, man. So that game was a complete bust, too.
And also with me as a Giants fan, I'd rather have them with... I'd probably say go with Castle so that the record being worse.
And they could be very relevant in the not-too-distant future with the way that NFC East is forming up. We'll get to that more later. But the Rams went to Green Bay. To Lambeau Field. This is the Packers. Weasel, what do you got?
The Packers at home defeated the Rams 24-10 to stay unbeaten. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Historic streak at home of 587 attempts and 49 touchdowns without an interception. That ended against the Rams as Rams linebacker James Laurinaitis successfully intercepted a deflected ball in the first quarter.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that because that tip, that play, I've always been a Laurinaitis fan. That's why. Boom. And yeah, go ahead, Weasel.
So he had that nice streak. You know, he blew it. So one more interception. Why not? So one quarter later, interception. And he later lost a fumble.
Okay, now hold on. See, you and your Viking fanhood is coming out here. That second interception hit the ground. That was not a catch.
Well, I'm looking at the stats.
Tough break.
It did say interception.
Oh, here's another stat you're looking at. The Seattle Seahawks still have 2 wins. Ow! Yep.
So Rodgers finished 19 of 30 for 241 yards and 2 touchdowns. Rams quarterback Nick Foles. And not so good day. He completed only 11 of 30, 141 yards, 1 touchdown, and 4 INTs.
Four.
So around the beginning of the fourth quarter, Foles was intercepted at the in the red zone at the 7-yard line, resulting in a touchback. This is going to sound a little bit redundant, but this time, with 27 seconds remaining in the game, Foles was picked off, once again, in the red zone at the 7.
I see what you did there.
So, Packers wide receiver James Jones. Not a bad pickup for him. They kind of needed it without one Jordy Nelson. And they got rookie wide receiver Ty Montgomery. Each had touchdowns, 65 yards and 31 yards, respectively. Rams wide receiver Tavon Austin, 2 catches. One of them was for a 5-yard touchdown.
2 catches, no big deal, but touchdown. Who says we don't talk fantasy on this show?
Now, a bright spot for the Rams is the emergence of rookie running back Todd Gurley. 30 rushes for 159 yards. He is a 3-down back that he does it all. I mean, the guy, you can keep him out there. Pass protection, he's good. Receptions out of the backfield, he's got. Rushing, he's up there. People kind of throw the word Peterson around there. But
go ahead.
And so he's a, he's definitely.
I'm going to say this. As a Vikings fan, what's the one thing that you've cut on in Peterson's game?
Well, his pass protection, like when to block on like a third down or something, he just, it's like he doesn't know.
If Adrian Peterson was being rushed by, say, Clay Matthews, would Todd Gurley slam him to the ground?
I saw that. It was a, for some reason, I think it was Clay Matthews decided to try to jump over Todd Gurley.
And it just didn't go so well.
Yeah. So Gurley just, he just, as he was going kind of over him, he just put his hands up and then he went down to the ground. So he didn't exactly like slam him down.
Well, no, but it's not like it was, it wasn't some sort of a sick wrestling move or nothing like that. But let's just put it this way. I don't think that's a play that Adrian Peterson would have made in the same fashion.
Yeah. I just remember like last week for the Vikings. There was it was a stunt blitz. One of the linebackers was going to the left side of the O-line, and you had a cornerback in the slot that did a blitz. A corner blitz type of thing. Peterson just let both guys go, and then he just ran out to the
hey,
right
throw me
and
the say, ball.
Yeah, throw it, I'm open type of thing, and they
Why
lost a fumble because of
ball?
It. So, but yeah, Todd Gurley, that's there's one thing being the best runner in the NFL, which I think Peterson is, but running back, Todd Gurley, he's on his way, I believe.
So, I'll put it, Todd Gurley is honestly, I think, going to be the biggest weapon on this offense with the way Nick Foles has declined.
Not a big surprise there. They don't got much else.
Brrr.
Yeah.
Weasel going bitter on
and
the Rams.
I think maybe y'all could chime in on this, but one Brian Quick, at the beginning of last season, he was, I believe he was a rookie. I think I had like, he had about like 323 yards and 323 yards and I think 3 touchdowns early on.
Right.
And then he got an injury, I believe maybe it was shoulder or something like that.
Right.
So at the beginning of this season, he was ready to go.
Allegedly,
yeah. He was ready to go, but he's gotten scratched. From multiple games, because the head coach said that he was they needed special teams help or something like that. So finally, last week he got one catch. This week, 2 catches. So he was seen as possibly the number one wide receiver there. But
what?
In front of
no.
So they were gonna put him in front of Tavon Austin and Stanley Bailey.
How's that Tavon Austin doing? He has touchdowns. I think
if you want to talk smack on
sparingly.
Tavon Austin, that's
fine. I'm
still on Stedman Bailey.
Stedman Bailey? Well, we'll see how it is. But the thing was that it's he's not getting looks and stuff like that.
No,
so
he's not.
We'll see. But at the beginning of the season, I don't think that. Like Stedman Bailey and stuff, you were looking at him as a number one wide receiver.
Well, I sure wasn't looking at Brian Quick.
So
I mean, I'm not the draft specialist on NGSE Sports. We got Josh Zimmer and Montel Hardy for that. But I'm fairly certain when Brian Quick was drafted, everybody talked about how it was a bit of a reach. I think all he's doing is proving him right.
Oh.
But hey, this is the kind of debate that makes horse races. It's okay, Weasel. I got you. Personally, and you know I'm right on this. I think Brian Quick is soon to be the next guy on your fantasy team that will be that bitterness thing. The next Michael Clayton.
No.
The next, no? You don't think so?
No. He was coming. The guy had an injury. And so coming back, I mean, he got a couple targets, and it was one of those things that they were just pushing him to the side. So
okay, well, fair enough.
And can we stop this James Jones stuff? Because everyone's like, oh, this James Jones coming out of nowhere.
No, he's not.
Two years ago, he was the second leading receiver on the Green Bay Packers. He left because he wanted more money. Didn't work out in Oakland. Then he got kept by the Giants because, you know, the Giants are like, oh, we got these younger guys. We want to see what they do and everything. Well, they're kicking themselves in the foot right now with their wide receiver issues now.
I was about to say, how do you feel about that Giants fan?
Yeah, so, I mean, he comes back to Green Bay. He already knows the plays. He's already from that system. Everyone's like, oh, you know, was that a job? This was a good pickup for them, this and that. And everything's like, yeah, well, he was James Jones before Randall Cobb was Randall Cobb.
That's
you know,
true.
If they're in Green Bay.
Well, here's where you can give the credit, and that's to the front office for not blinking. James Jones is like, look, I could get more value elsewhere. Good luck. Go ahead. They did two things. One, they gave him the opportunity. And two, they made a move not to cave to an offensive player to screw up their cap. Unlike, let's say, the Seahawks. Oh, he went there too!
I think the whole thing with James Jones, he has, because as you're saying, it does sound like he was gone. Because for me, I thought he wasn't with the Packers for like 2-3 years at least. But it's
one
year.
Season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was one season, and I think they have a good rapport, even though he's gone for one measly season. So
one measly season. It's not like you have to relearn a whole lot when Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. Yeah. Putting it in perspective,
grass is never greener.
Bingo. Anyway, so speaking of things that were green, Philadelphia hosted the New Orleans Saints. Now, in the matchup mania on NGSCSports.com, I wrote up that this game featured two teams that were in the swirling water going down the drain for their season. And the winner, well, let's just say would buy themselves a little time, especially in the case of the Eagles, where the NFC least is still in some contention, right? I mean, go ahead.
The winner would need a second flush.
The winner will need a second flush. That's right. So the Saints just experienced a courtesy flush as they lost to the Eagles. Is that what you're saying, Chris?
Exactly.
The Saints are a courtesy flush. Great. My in-laws are going to love that one. Anyways, Drew Brees, well, I can see why you say he's worthy of a courtesy flush. 3 turnovers on his own with 2 lost fumbles and an interception. 26 for 43 on the day, 335 yards. Also, a fumble by Weasel's favorite tight end, former Patriot. Want to give it a shot?
Go for it.
Humana Wanui.
Alrighty then.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I was going to make you be a star. I thought you had this one.
No, you're good.
So, well, since it's... Oh, I'm sorry. It's not Humana Wanui. It's Humana Wanui. Because Mariota and that whole thing. No? No, Weasel's like, no, I'm not feeling that. Why you got to hate? Why's it got to be like that? At any rate, in the process of getting a courtesy flush, the Saints were sacked 5 times, 3 by Fletcher Cox. And, of course, the time of possession, in a very strange turn of events, favoring the Eagles. 34 minutes versus 26, essentially. Guys, I'll be honest. This is something where we're used to barely seeing the Eagles on the field, and then they don't take advantage. I think what we're seeing here isn't so much an evidence of Eagle improvement as much of confirmation of the lack of defense in Nolens. Anybody disagree with that?
Nope, not at all.
I didn't think so.
So special where the Eagles ran the ball.
You know Chris is serious when he drops a not at all line. Okay, that wasn't a no, that wasn't an eh, not at all.
Not at all.
It's kind of like what Weasel said about that Humana Wanui joke. Not at all. Right? I don't know. Anyways, so the Buffalo Bills faced off against the Titans. Now, we all thought this game was for sure. And the Bills did win, but it was 14-13. It was a lot closer than it should have been. And I got to be honest, if Marcus Mariota, right? Do I get points for Mariota on that one?
Yes, man.
Yeah, boy. Anyway. I saw your line, Weasel. I'm sorry. Please don't beat me up after the show. Anyways, Dan Heron? Is this is a former Colts running back? I don't know.
Yes, Boom Heron.
Boom Heron, right. Nice. Yeah, exactly. So, Bishop Sankey, Dexter McCluster, let's go with Boom Heron.
whatever. 9 carries, 28 yards. Not exactly impressive.
No, it's for the Bills.
Oh,
though.
Excuse me. I said for the Titans. I meant for the Bills.
All right.
They did have Booby Dixon. Anthony Dixon, right?
Right.
Whatever. Now, in fairness, they're missing Shady due to injury. You know, they lost C.J. Spiller in the offseason.
They also lost Carlos Williams with Cousins.
Thank you. I'll get that. Carlos Williams is out. I mean, so because MASH unit. I think that's the main reason why, too. The Bills managed to sneak by. Tyrod Taylor did have a touchdown in the air as well as on the ground, as well as being their actual leading rusher, 8 carries for 76 yards. But we're talking about Boom Heron just because I like his name. Anyways, so yeah, Chris Hogan, the leading receiver for the Bills, as they were missing Sammy Watkins as well. When you start going through the list, see a lot of people missing in the Bills' offense, and still the Titans could not capitalize. I give Mariota credit. He had a decent completion percentage, 21 for 32, but 187 in a pick ain't going to do it. Antonio Andrews accounting for the only touchdown. That's where I wanted to make the jokes about Bishop Sankey and the cluster. And nope, Antonio Andrews, by the way, wicked fantasy pickup for a lot of people, apparently. We'll see if it actually pans out. I don't know. Moving on. Good times. Another game that was riveting. Jags, Bucks, the battle for the state of Florida, which, hey, might be a big deal in college and high school, but it isn't so much for the NFL right now. Chris.
Well, let's go into the game. There's one streak that's going to be broken. The Jags had lost 11 road games, and the Bucks have lost 11 home games in a row.
Home game. So, wait. So, we have one instance where a
quarterback. Jags have lost 11 away games.
Yes.
And the Bucks have lost 11 home games in a row.
Right. Something had to give.
So, one of the streaks was going to break going into this game. But neither defense was really trying to show up for to help out their team either, because they both, you know, didn't look like they could stop the run. Well, Bucks defense couldn't stop the pass, and the Jags defense couldn't stop the run. And the Bucks would come out winning 38-31. And really, I mean, I've been saying all season, even in the offseason, Jags defense is improving. It's getting better. But the loss of linebacker Paul Posluszny.
Posluszny, yeah.
He.
Penn State's Paul, yeah. Posluszny.
Yes, he.
Please. That's a lot of P's.
Yeah. Without him in the lineup, that's what they couldn't stop the run. I mean, his presence on the field just showed, you know, how bad it was.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was missing, but it's a good explanation for how it went different, yeah.
And then also, I mean, the Jags defense couldn't stop the run, couldn't stop the screen pass, and their punt coverage was horrible. Doug Martin, if you're in fantasy, you're happy about this, he would give you 33 points.
So wait, Weasel, did you go get him?
He was available on free agency on that Saturday before he had two games. And when I went back, it was a waiver claim, and I was thinking about it. But he blew up, so that would have been a good one. But
okay,
you never know sometimes.
That's true. We're
telling you to get him.
We advise you.
Yeah.
Right here on the show where we don't talk about fantasy.
Yep.
Yeah, he had 33 points.
Weasel.
He would have 33 points on 123 yards on 23 carries with 2 touchdowns. He also had 35 receiving yards with another score. Backup running back Chris Sims had 51 yards on the ground, but he took 4 screen passes for a total of 85 yards and led all Bucks receivers.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say to that.
Jameis Winston didn't turn the ball over, which one could have been, but they said his leg was down when he tried throwing the ball and it threw and went backwards.
Yeah. I thought that was a fumble.
It looked like a fumble to me.
Because the ball was out of his hands when his knee was down.
Right. They said, oh, his shin was down.
Oh, shin?
Yeah, his shin.
Holy shin.
Yes. That's what I was saying.
What a crock of... Never mind. Anyways.
You know, he was 13 for 19 for 209 yards. 123 of those yards were to Chris Sims and Doug Martin. And then Bobby Rainey had 85 punt return yards on 3 attempts.
That's not bad.
No. For the Jags, second-year quarterback Blake Bortles had another good game as he tried for another comeback, but too little was too late as the Jags pulled within 7, just over a minute to play, but the onside kick was unsuccessful. Bortles was 23 for 33 for 303 yards and 4 touchdowns. But, you know, seeing him play at UCF here in college, the one thing he always throws an interception is off his back foot.
Yes.
Couldn't get the ball to his receiver. The ball was a little late as well. the corner took a good cut on it, dove for it, and, you know, intercepted the ball, which led to a Bucks touchdown. Allen Hurdens led all receivers for the Bucks with 116 yards on 5 catches and a touchdown. Allen Robinson had 2 touchdowns and 72 receiving yards, and rookie running back T.J. Yeldon had a touchdown catch. Running back Corey Grant lost the fumble on a pitch, which was recovered and returned by for a touchdown by Bucks linebacker Devontae David to push the lead to 31-24 late in the second. Difference in the game really was the turnovers, the 2 for the Jags, 0 for the Bucks, and both Jags' turnovers led to Bucks touchdowns.
I mean, give both sides credit. I don't know that they're, either team is truly designed to score 30 points, but both did. I mean, but
that's why I said neither defense showed up.
Yeah, that's true too. I mean, you mentioned Puzzlesny being out. It's not. I don't think it's an accident that the Bucks ran for 183 yards total on 40 carries, more than 4 yards a carry, more like 4.5. But
and who would have known that 69 points would have been scored?
Oh, right. You set me up for that.
Yeah, right? I did.
I like what you did there. Anyways, of course, we're gonna take a break here real quick. We're gonna pay a tribute to the king of the checkdown during this break, simply because I think he needs a little bit of love and courtesy. But, yeah, you'll find out why after the break. You're listening to NGSC Sports. Student of the Game presents Real Men of Awesome.
Real Men of Awesome.
Today we salute you, Mr. King of the Checkdown.
Mr. King of the Checkdown.
2 yards to the tailback, 5 yards to the fullback, and when you're feeling frisky, 10 yards to the tight end.
That's not Vernon Davis.
While playing for the Kool-Aid Man, your checkdown choices championed the Chiefs for weeks of undefeated greatness.
People think in playoffs.
Some players prefer slinging shots for scores in single throws, but not you. Your minimalist mantra of movement by game management helps you matriculate the ball down the field.
Just like Hank Stram did.
So here's to you, O ruler of the running back pass. You're turning the checkdown into touchdowns.
Mr. King of the Checkdown.
Student of the Game, National Gridiron Network. And of course, we are back here on NGSC Sports. So, yeah, tribute to Alex Smith. Good times all the way around. But let's get the Sunday night thing out of the way. Go ahead, Chris.
Giants, Niners, you know, we've had good games in the past between these two teams. The East versus West rivalry, kind of, you know, in the past. Sunday night was just as exciting as history showed us. Both teams came in with almost the same philosophy. We're going to try to run the ball, and then we're going to nickel and dime you down the field to try to set up the deep ball pass. Late in the fourth quarter, tied at 20, the Giants' red zone scoring troubles continued as they settled for a 24-yard Josh Brown field goal to go up 23-20 with 4:54 left to play. Kaepernick dumping the ball short all game, hit Anquan Boldin for a big gain, which was the fourth Niner pass of the day over 20 yards.
Wow. I didn't even catch that stat.
And Carlos Hyde would punch in a touchdown to put the Niners up 27-23 with minute 45 left. Eli Manning would take the Niners' defense was giving him, and that would be dumping it off to Shane Vereen in the middle and getting the yards after the catch.
It was at least two of those passes. I'll leave it at that.
All this was going on with Odell Beckham Jr. and Reuben Randall on the sideline with hamstring injuries. Beckham would come in after the Giants' final timeout and drew a pass interference call. In the very next play, Eli hit tight end Larry Donnell in the back of the end zone to seal the victory with 21 seconds to win 30-27. Once again, the Giants' defense folded in the fourth quarter, almost cost them the victory. They've given up a league-best 54 points in the fourth quarter and over 600 yards.
A league best. Don't you mean a league worst?
Yeah, technically, whichever.
A league most.
Yes.
Bing! There you go.
So, I mean, if you look at that. They have the number one rush defense in the league going into this game. And they gave up 93 yards to Carlos Hyde with 21 carries and a touchdown. And as I mentioned, Anquan Boldin earlier, he had 107 receiving yards and a touchdown. Eli had a, you know, franchise best 41 completions on 54 attempts.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, can you think of another Giants quarterback that's a big name beyond Eli. Because, I mean, Phil Simms is the obvious answer, but he's not going to throw the ball 41 times. Not in that era, you know?
Yeah. Giants are always known for running the ball.
Yeah, that too.
So, yeah, 41 completions, 54 attempts.
I'm trying to go in the Wayback Machine to my Tecmo Bowl action, the running back for the Giants, but it's not coming to me. I'm sure somebody like out there in the world is going to be aware. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember.
You had, what's his name? Short guy.
That name was down. Huh?
Meggett.
I don't know if that's the guy
I'm
thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, but that was after Tecmo Bowl, but, I mean, you still had, you had Meggett that came in after that.
Then there's that dude, you know.
Tiki Barber.
Tiki, of course.
And then you had Ron Dane, and then, you know, with that.
Ron
yeah.
Dane, really?
Yeah, well, you had the Earth, Wind, and Fire with, you know, that combination.
Brandon
there.
Jacobs.
Right.
And Derek Ward. Yes. That group. The Super Bowl group, right?
And, right.
Well, one of them, anyway. So.
Yeah, he had, Eli had 441 yards with three touchdowns, and he had a stupid interception right before the half. I mean, he was getting hit. He was getting pressure from Aaron Lynch all game long, and you know he
who
came
needs
up
and, Alden Smith. I can't go that far, but
and you know it was just a bad thrown ball. I mean, it was late there. Just throw the ball over his head out of bounds. Let me try to take it, kick the field goal, because I mean that was really the turning point of the game.
Yeah,
well, going in there. Kaepernick was 23 for 35 for 262 yards with two touchdowns. He also had 23 yards on the ground.
What's more disappointing from the Giant fan perspective, giving up the 93 yards to Carlos Hyde, or the fact that Kaepernick had the performance he did?
I would say the way the defense played, giving up 93 yards to Carlos Hyde.
Okay, there you go.
Giants, Odell Beckham Jr. had 121 yards and a touchdown. And as I mentioned, Shane Vereen, you know, he was giving him the yards. He's like the dump-off machine for Eli right now. He had 86 yards and a touchdown. I mean, after Vereen's touchdown, he was like pointing to his wrist like a watch. It's like it's his time now. He's kind of signaling that, you know, pointing to his wrist. So,
is that
know,
what
so
that was?
Then he pointed to me. It's like, it's my time. So he's showing it. It's his time there in New York because he finally scored a touchdown.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, if you looked at it the rest of the game, I mean, he's dumping off the Shane Vereen. He's getting those yards after contact and bringing them in there.
I still think that's a committee system running, but whatever.
It'll be a committee running, but on third down, Vereen's going to be in there for that dump off. I mean, between him and Jennings, I mean, you got two options there.
That's true.
Reason this game was this close was because of red zone. Niners were 3 for 4, and the Giants, as I mentioned, struggled again, 3 for 6.
Finally found a team that the Niners are better than in the red zone, at least percentage-wise. By the way, you went out of your way to mention the holding in Weasel Steeler game. I haven't heard a thing yet about it towards the end of the game with an interception call and any of that. You have it in your notes? I don't want to
interception call.
Well, yeah. Eli had thrown an interception, but it was overturned because it hit the ground, allegedly. It was the right call, I'm just saying.
Yeah, oh yeah, that one.
Eli had two opportunities to end the game poorly for his team.
Right.
The Niners just dropped
yeah.
them.
That one did. It looked like interception, but it clearly on replay.
Yeah, in the replay it wasn't.
It wasn't, but really, Giants had 525 yards of offense.
I mean, seriously. I'm putting this one squarely on the Niners secondary. I mean,
right.
41, what is it? 41 receptions and 441 yards passing?
Correct, yeah. Yes.
I mean, come on, dude. If a team is throwing the ball 54 times against you, they should be doing it because they're catching up, not because, you know, they can just command you at will.
They didn't even attempt to throw the ball downfield. Neither team that much. It was dump. Okay, I'm just gonna throw a slant. They're gonna get the yards. I mean,
well, every now and again, Cap would at least fire one at Bolden and get a big one.
Right. Yeah. This is like, I think he had like three of them. Three of Bolden's catches were down the field.
Yeah.
It's because, you know, they set it up, all these short passes.
There you go. So, the Giants game went as expected, I think we'll admit.
I just like how you went the king of the check down, and both these were check down quarterbacks yesterday.
There you go. I mean, well, maybe Kaepernick is the prince, or in some people's opinion, the clown prince of check down quarterbacks. But the king of the check down, he's going to need a little help. Weasel, tell us why.
The Bears on the road defeated the Chiefs 18-17. In the middle of the first quarter, the Chiefs defense put some points on the board when quarterback Jay Cutler a lost fumble that was recovered into the end zone by the Chiefs. Cutler finished 26 of 45, 252 yards, and two touchdowns. Running back Matt Forte added 18 carries for 71 yards and leads the NFL with 438 yards rushing. Now, the Chiefs, there was a Chiefs wide receiver that got a touchdown. Chiefs wide receiver DeAnthony Thomas.
Is he listed as a receiver or running back?
Wide receiver.
I might have to get you on a technicality because I know he played running back in Oregon, but I don't know. Go ahead, Weevil.
DeAnthony Thomas
was a running back. Was a running back in Oregon.
Chris, go ahead and look that up. Weevil, keep doing your thing.
It says wide receiver on NFL.com.
Does it? Okay. So, I mean that counts. We'll give him credit.
So
2 in 21 games. Yes.
Yeah, I'll take it. And he did catch. Actually, it was a 19-yarder off of bubble screen. So nicely done. Alex Smith was 16 of 30 with 81 yards. Macklin, 8 for 85. Disaster struck, though, for the Chiefs when running back Jamal Charles tore his ACL when he made a cut untouched.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was no other ligament damage, but the ACL is out, so he's definitely out for the year.
Yeah.
Cutler was clutch, actually, in the fourth quarter. Down 17-6 mid-fourth quarter, Cutler threw an impressive lob to the corner of the end zone to wide receiver Marquez Wilson for the touchdown. They did miss the two-point conversion, but with 2:04 remaining, Cutler led an 8-play drive to the score of the game-winning touchdown with only 23 seconds remaining. So the Chiefs did have a shot to win, though. They gave kicker Cairo Santos a 66-yarder, but it was short.
Okay, wait a minute. So with all the stuff that went down in Week 4, anybody, and I'm not saying you did this, Weasel, anybody who talks smack on Cairo Santos for missing his 66-yarder, I have to remind you. I'm not counting you. I know you didn't do it. But anyone who's talking smack on Cairo Santos for missing his 66-yarder need only look at last week for the 21 points he scored, being the only guy to score points with 7 field goals. I'm willing to let that one slide.
Yep.
Well, he did miss another field goal from between 20 and 29 yards, though.
Oh, snap. See?
He was 1 for 3.
Where's the shame? Let me get it out.
Throw him to the curb.
Just say that. Really, 20, 29 yarder.
So, with this, can the Chiefs stay competitive without one Jamal Charles?
Well, I think the beginning of the debate that we had earlier, though he may be listed as a wide receiver, according to NFL.com. Thank you, Weasel.
And ESPN, too.
Okay.
As a receiver.
Wow, there you go. So although he may be listed on the active roster as a wide receiver, I don't think they're going to rule out plugging him in along with Nile Davis as a running back option. They may have to. I don't know. Travis Kelce's still there. They still have Jeremy Maclin. But that, I mean, look, guys, 40% of the offense last year, right? I mean, that sounds about right, yes?
Yeah. So I think they can't really. They'll have them, I think, maybe do some end arounds or reverses or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because if you put them at running back, you have usually running backs that are, if the running back's like 5'8", usually they would be around like 190, 200 or so. Listed here, he's 5'8", 176. So he can get crushed out there, like broken in half or so if they put him at running back. So
that's true.
But end arounds, stuff like that, trick kind of plays, like, not trick plays, but. Stuff like that where he wouldn't take a beating down the middle, I could see him definitely getting some runs.
So, and actually as a Steeler guy, Weasel, Dree Archer is a guy that, you know, was a hit or miss, but definitely had his issues trying to cut through the middle there, so.
Yeah.
They got a guy named Charkandrick West as a running back.
Charkandrick West.
Right.
I gotta learn how to spell that.
How sounds.
I blame you, Jamal Charles. No.
All right. So I'm pretty sure that their two top running backs would be now Nile Davis.
Right.
And you got this. You could take that.
Charkandrick West.
So
Charkandrick.
He's 5'10", 205.
So Char is in ashes. Can is I can do it. Chan as in Chan.
It's Char like charcoal. Canned. Like part of candy, and then Rick. So char canned Rick.
Whatever. Next.
The question is, though, can Mr. West or Niles Davis, can they pick up the slack, at least to have them stay competitive.
Mr. West. I love it. Well played, Weasel.
No.
you would be in trouble when it came to Mr. Fuamatu Ma'afala, apparently. Anyways, yeah. So, yeah, speaking of teams that were in trouble there for a minute, the undefeated Falcons hosted the Redskins and apparently got more than they bargained for. Chris.
Either the Redskins are one of the most underrated teams in the NFL, or the Falcons are one of the most overrated teams, or could be both.
I was about to say, can it be both? Can it be both?
But this game needed overtime to decide who the winner was. In overtime, the Redskins got the ball first and were driving when a Kirk Cousins pass intended for Ryan Grant was intercepted by Robert Alford and returned for a touchdown to seal the game 25-19. And the Falcons are now 5-0 under new head coach Dan Quinn. This interception was Alford's second of the day, and it was a decent pass by Kirk Cousins. I mean, his receiver, Ryan Grant, slipped on the turf. Mm-hmm. And Alford just made a good cut on the ball to pick it off and return it. I mean, he returned like 50-something yards for a touchdown. Both Cousins' interceptions really weren't his fault because his first one went off of Pierre Garçon.
Ha-ha!
Right off his hands, right into Alford's hands. And Cousins finished 21-32 for 219 yards and a touchdown. The reason why this game was close was the Redskins' defense. They forced two Matt Ryan interceptions, and they also stripped Matt Ryan once.
See, here's what drives me nuts, is I'm watching the recap for this game, and they're all talking Matty Ice, Matty Ice. Okay, I get it. He pulled it out of his butt to lead his team back to winning overtime. That's great. You don't call the dude with three turnovers Matty Ice. Stop it. No. Anyways, continue.
Especially when you're just better than 50%, as he was 24 for 42 for
melted ice. Yards. Melted ice, not Matty. Chris is laughing over there. Why are you going?
You know, had a good day, though. Was once again Devontae Freeman.
Yes.
27 carries, 153 yards with a touchdown. He also had a catch that should have been a touchdown, but it was called incomplete because he reached across the line and he lost the ball going to the ground.
So. And Weasel, let me get you in on this one, because I know this is one of the things with the rules on the catch and stuff. He's not even going out of bounds here. He's broken the plane. The play should be over. And then they rule it incomplete. So this is kind of like, last week we were talking about the Tyler Eifert play.
Yeah, that was like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
This one was more of a catch than Tyler Eifert.
He's getting inquisitive on me.
Just looking it up, but... So if a player is in outside the end zone and stuff,
yes,
and they make a dive,
yes,
for the goal line,
yes,
the ball crosses the goal line,
correct.
But when going on down into the end zone,
yes,
the ball gets, I guess, fumbled or it hits the ground and it goes. Isn't that it? Would be a touchdown because once it hits the goal line, the imaginary plane, it's a touchdown, not. The resulting stuff after.
Correct.
So.
Apparently not anymore. Congratulations! $40,000 a year raise for a part-time job and a pension! Woo!
Yeah, this was a catch in
the field
of play.
Yeah.
Took his three steps, turned, and dove to the end zone, broke the plane, but as he was going down, the ball popped out.
It just, because there's a lot of plays, like, especially for a, like a quarterback sneak type thing where if you're at the 1 yard line, the quarterback dives, and once he puts the ball, he pulls the ball out towards the plane. Once he breaks the plane, it's a touchdown. People, even if he's driven back after that, it's a touchdown. So this kind of thing is like, I mean, they're not being consistent with the rules. So if you're in the end zone already, you have to, okay, keep 2 feet in.
Yep.
You need to come down with the ball, but it's different when it's in the field of play. And the three-step thing, that ticks me off, that kind of stuff. So
That's why I had you weigh in. Yep. I knew this was your wheelhouse.
I mean, it really didn't change the outcome. I mean, I was on a third down. They went for it on fourth down and completed a pass, and then Devontae Freeman, his touchdown run, was on the same series. So, I mean, at least it didn't change the outcome, but it was could have.
Well...
changed it, and also the butt catch or whatever that the game.
Actually, I believe that's our next contest. Browns, Ravens, Weasel.
The Browns got a divisional road victory over the Ravens 33-30. The Ravens got the first touchdown in the mid-first quarter off a one-yard bootleg by quarterback Joe Flacco. Yeah. And he was pretty much wide open for a walk into the end zone. Finished 19 of 35, 210 yards, and a touchdown to fullback Kyle Juszczyk.
Boom! Nailed it.
It's that name has like six consonants in a row. That's crazy.
Hey, that Flacco touchdown, the only one I've ever seen open that bad was like the Peyton Manning.
Manning has done it.
Like 3 years ago, it was that bad because they're like, oh, Manning doesn't run the ball.
Whoops. That's a...
Psych! Hey, yeah, go ahead. I had something for a minute there, but I lost it. I can't do any better than the Peyton Manning. Psych! That was great.
So running back Justin Forsett rushed 21 times for 121 yards and a touchdown. He has been having problems early on in the season, so we'll see how it goes from there. Browns quarterback Josh McCown, 36 of 51, 457 yards, two touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. Tight end Gary Barnridge. This guy's kind of come out of nowhere and not bad.
Kind of like James Jones, huh?
Yeah. He got one of those touchdowns, and he had eight receptions for 139 yards. Running back Isaac Crowell got one, too. And it was kind of a crazy fourth quarter. So the Browns scored on an 18-yard pass to tight end Barnridge, who made an amazing catch with the help of his legs, cradling the football with about 14 minutes remaining. So, yeah, it was kind of weird. Wanted to chime in?
So, yeah, the butt catch. See, the reason why he calls it the butt catch is because as the slash Jets fan.
Butt fumble.
You know.
Oh, yes, the butt fumble.
That.
This one was actually a positive.
This made the top 10, not the not top 10.
Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah, exactly.
Got you.
So
it wasn't a top 10, the not top 10 for like 50 weeks in a row.
I lost count. Apparently so did they. I don't know.
So that actually did bring the Browns up 22-21. The Ravens later answered with a one-yard goal line touchdown, and the Ravens made a 23-yard field goal to put the game into overtime. And the Ravens got the ball first, three and out. Browns put together a 12-play drive, and ended with a 32-yard field goal made for the Browns' win.
By the way, you know whose fault this isn't? Justin Tucker.
Now you're going to say Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I'll agree with that in this case, too, actually. This isn't Joe Flacco's fault. That's a good call, Weasel. Great. Now I had to say something about Joe Flacco that's positive. Thank you, Weasel.
That was quite positive.
That was your fault. No, but Justin Tucker, that bad mother, shut your mouth, still is not on the Kicker Hall of Shame, has not missed an extra point. Maybe I'm jinxing him. I don't know.
Yeah, just wait for the stat on the bottom of the screen.
That's right. When they show the graphic, he's
one of four kickers that haven't missed an extra point.
Dang it!
He used to be one of four kickers.
One of the worst ones for I would say like a Vikings fan.
I was about to say
the worst one was one Gary Anderson.
Gary Anderson.
He made about, I think it was like 40 field goals, 45 field goals, and he was perfect for the year. Then it comes to the NFC Championship game against the Falcons, and it was about fourth quarter, would have put the Vikings up two scores against the Falcons. And let's just say that...
Wadded panties.
The stat popped up, 50 of 50, perfect all season, and he misses like around a 40-yarder.
Yeah, that was pretty tough.
Was terrible.
Wasn't he like 47 years old at that game, too?
He was pretty old.
He was old, but still.
I'm about 47.
Oh, he was 40-something.
And
he played late into his 40s.
He might have been in his 40s.
Yeah, I mean, he kicked 40-something field goals that season. He was freaking tired, man. He's like 47 years old.
Well, at least miss one like that doesn't count towards the end of the season.
Instead of wadded panties, is it wadded depends at that point, then? Is that how that works?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If it was like a 60-yarder or something, I'd understand, but come on.
66-yarder like Cairo Santos?
Yeah.
He lost the... tennis ball that goes in the bottom of his walker.
Oh,
I was just leaning a little bit.
It makes the difference, I guess.
You know what else makes a difference, guys? Home field advantage. And once again, the Seahawks are useless on the road, losing in overtime to Weasel's favorite quarterback, Andy the Red Rifle Dalton.
Hey, I have him in both of my fantasy leagues, okay?
That's why he's your favorite quarterback.
He is the best.
What did I say that was wrong?
He is the best best regular season quarterback in the NFL right now.
I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
He's actually the best third down completion percentage in the NFL.
That's an important stat.
In the regular season. Go ahead and say it. I'm waiting.
Yeah, no, it was all the regular season. So.
And until week 13. Or 13th game, I meant.
We're still doing that with the game 13. Anyways. So, of course.
Yeah. Well, I looked it up. It was true. 13th game.
It wasn't even that bad. I don't know. Anyways, whatever. Russell Wilson did have a touchdown on the day. 15 for 23, 213 yards with an interception. But carrying the Seahawks offense, not Marshawn Lynch, but one Thomas Rawls of Central Michigan, I believe. 23 carries, 169 yards. All right. And, yeah. I mean, even if you take out his big 69-yard run for a touchdown, all right. No, seriously, it's there. 69-yard touchdown, all right. Now I have to do every time.
All right.
Still 22 yards of carry, 400 yards without Rawls. 69-yard touchdown, all right. I mean, that's still a great performance. All the way around, Giovanni Bernard did have 15 for 80 for the Bengals. I mentioned them both because of balanced offenses on both sides. Granted, Dalton had a better day in the air, 331 yards, two touchdowns, did have a pick just like Russell Wilson did, throwing the ball 44 times, completing 30. Andy Dalton also recorded a running touchdown. They tried to design run the first time, rejected him, not the second. I'm going to leave this part off. Points for Weasel. Tyler Eifert. You had him in, right? Please tell me you had him
in. Yeah, of course.
Yes! 8 catches, 90 yards, 2 touchdowns. Weasel Weeks.
Yeah, boy. But the thing about him, there's some, like, I think it was like 2 weeks ago or last week or so. The guy, like, puts up a donut hole, 0 points, and then he blows up some other weeks. So, yeah, he's just, I just cemented him into the tight end spot, like, whatever.
Whatever. I'm rolling. We'll do it live. Exactly. And I'll put it this way. And again, that was overtime where the kicker hit the upright, but it snuck through to win the game. Points are at a premium, you would say, in this contest. Hey, Chris, what stat mattered the most? Red zone. I knew you were going to do it. 0 for 2 were the Seahawks. 3 for 4 were the Bengals. Tell me, did that matter?
It mattered.
Yes, it did. Did that help the Seahawks?
No, it didn't.
Damn it, I was
not at all.
There it is! Woohoo!
Well, that's the Seahawks had 10 penalties for 112 yards. See, that doesn't help.
That did not help them either. No, it did not. So, something else that doesn't help me, or Chris for that matter. That's right. Between butt catches and Bears wins, your dominating figure this week, Weasel Weez!
Yeah, boy!
I normally say something about creeping up here, but damn it! I went from 4 years having a piece of the championship to 4 games back.
Hey, there's still a lot of football left.
I don't care, I'm humiliated.
Weasel was 11-2, I was 10-3, you're 9-4 this week. Because of the freaking Chiefs.
Yeah.
And then Jamal Charles had to go tear his ACL.
The Chiefs, and then the butt catcher was both, too.
That is true. The Ravens, yep.
I blame the Saints. Anyway.
No, I had the Eagles on that one. So that game wasn't as close.
I blame the Saints. No,
that game wasn't that close. It's probably the same amount of games back from Weasel, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the freaking Chiefs. Damn Jay Cutler.
Anyways. First game.
First game, Thursday night. You actually talk about the Saints. We got the Falcons at the Saints.
Anybody?
Yeah, Falcons.
All the way around. They just don't have enough defense for Devontae Freeman and Julio Jones. Put it down.
Next, you got the Skins at the Jets.
I'd like to say one thing about the Skins first. Now, whenever there's an interception by a throw by Kirk Cousins, there's a bar. There is seriously a bar in Washington, D.C. that gives free shots for every Kirk Cousins interception.
Oh, boy.
So the thing is that when it was, I think it was it overtime in that game? Or,
yes.
When it was overtime, you could be so sad if you're a Redskins fan that that there was a game-losing interception, but you get free shots. So
I mean, drown your sorrows.
Exactly. So, anyways, Redskins versus...
The Jets.
The Jets had a little... They had some rest this weekend, so I'll go with the Jets.
Next up, we'll have an episode of The Simpsons as Chris goes Homer.
Yep. More free shots from the NBC. I got the Jets.
Oh yeah, dude. People purveying bars in the Washington D.C. area will be drunk as hell playing against the Jets. I too have the Jets. Next up,
you got the Cards at the Steelers.
That's a good game. So
that, well,
Cardinals, they have them. I think their whole running back core. I think that they're back now.
Yeah.
But I'd say if it's Michael Vick playing,
that's the thing.
I'd say Cards.
Well, if it was Big Ben, this would be a really good game to watch with Le'Veon Bell and everything like that. But Arizona is just more all around, even their defense. So I'm going to go with Cards.
I would argue maybe the second most balanced team in the NFC because I think the Packers are just as good. They have a good defense as well. The Cardinals may have a better defense, but whatever. I'm with you guys. I don't think Vic is doing a bad job, but I don't see him doing enough to top of the Cardinals next.
We got the Chiefs at the Vikings.
Weasel.
I'm going to go running game. I got to go with the Vikings.
Homer.
My team going with the Vikings because without Jamal Charles, they're going to be useless.
That improved defense is going to stop the Chiefs pretty well anyway. Without Charles, forget about it. Next.
We got the Bengals at the Bills.
Weasel.
Huh. I think it could be a high-scoring affair, but I'll stick with the red-hot Bengals.
I see what you did there! Yeah.
It's an even week, and Tyrod Taylor's not going to have that great of a week, even though in Week 5 we didn't have one, but I'm going to go Bengals.
As much as the Bills will do to try and silence the Ginger Ninja, I think because of all the injuries in the Bills' backfield, they just don't have enough offense, even if they do slow Andy Dalton and A.J. Green. Tyler Eifert gets a couple more big plays for Weasel. Points for Weasel. Win for the Bengals. Yeah, boy.
Next, you got the Bears at the Lions.
Weasel.
Lions are in disarray.
How dare you?
Why?
The Lions are in disarray right now, and the Bears, I think... they're down to lesser-known wide receivers, but Cutler is back, so we get the Bears.
Chris.
There's dumpster fire that's in Detroit right now. You don't know what's going on, how bad they are. They are playing against the Bears, but really, the Bears are on a winning streak. They have two games in a row they won. I'm going Bears again.
The exact reason that I'm picking the Lions is because Cutler's won two games in a row. I have no reason to believe that he will maintain. I might be made fun of this week, but I like Detroit's defense well enough to force Cutler into mistakes to take Forte out of the game and then maybe accidentally, penalty in fashion, put Calvin Johnson into the end zone as a possession receiver. Oh, I said it!
Lions secondary? What?
Yeah. It's that defensive line. I forget the guy. Ebenezer. I forget his last name. Shoot. But he's
Scrooge? Still like,
I walked right into that. I mean, you could have said Ecubon and been old NFL at least, but yeah. But at any rate, I like the remnants of the defensive line for the Lions that contained Russell Wilson in what should have been a win to do the same to Jay Cutler. Boom. Next up.
You have the Broncos at the Browns.
Weasel.
Broncos are winning a lot of it on defense, so... I'm gonna go for the upset Browns.
Chris.
Well, it doesn't matter if Peyton Manning's not throwing that many touchdowns because the Broncos defense will have another defensive touchdown in this game. I'm going Broncos.
You know, I know they had a bit of a scare facing off with the Raiders. But and while my strategy would be to dare Peyton Manning to beat me over the top, I'm still, come on, it's Josh McCown. I mean, I said the same thing about Joe Flacco last week, but that's Joe Flacco. And a butt catch, and a whole lot of things that had to break their way. And the Broncos defense is more complete. Yeah, I got the Broncos.
We actually got the Texans at the Jags.
Weasel.
The Jags, I think... Finally, the Jags have kind of found their offense. So, because Bortles is throwing it around everywhere. So, they have one. We'll see how it does. But Julius Thomas, he played last week.
Looked pretty good.
And, yeah. So, He'll be playing, so I got the Jags.
Chris.
This is a tough one to pick because the Texans' secondary has been bad this year. I mean, you like the front seven of the Texans.
Of course.
Their secondary has been bad. I mean, Burles has been throwing the ball around pretty good. But without Puzlesny,
yes.
In there, Aaron Foster is going to have a field day against his defense. I'm going to go Texans for an upset on this one. So much with J.J. Watt going with some more sacks this week to bring his total ups. Because it is the Jags' offensive line.
That's right. Well, if he gets the stereotypical two sacks on the day that he seems to get against the Jags, he'll average one per game. Still won't be enough. I think the Texans' offense will still have their panties in a wad, no matter what Arian Foster does. See what I did there? I have the Jags as well.
Next, you got the Dolphins at the Titans.
Wow.
Dolphins, Titans. Well, I think this week you don't know what you're going to get because with the Dolphins because they fired their coach, they fired the defensive coordinator, so supposedly that's what the players wanted, defensive coordinator at least.
Yeah.
But, so Dolphins and...
Titans.
Marinette had a bad game this past week, but I will go with the Titans.
Chris.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins with the most improved. They had the bye, they had the week off to relax, to refocus everything, get this defense back together, new coaching staff, new philosophy they're going in there. Dean Campbell took over, the Titans coach, took over as offensive head coach. He's going to throw the ball to Jordan Cameron more. He's going to call more tight end plays, which they should. They have too many weapons on offense against this Titans defense. I'm going to go Dolphins in this one.
For my money, I can't believe in a team that has so little going for it other than Marcus Mariota. I'm going to give the Dolphins one last shot to do something for me this year because they already made me look stupid, me calling them making it to the playoffs. Beat the Titans, and then we'll just go on separate ways, Dolphins. I have Miami.
You have the Panthers at the Seahawks.
Let's see, Panthers Seahawks. I'd say defense. Seattle's kind of back, so I'll go with the Seahawks on this.
Well, and of course, most importantly, geography.
Right. Yeah. What I was surprised in the game with the Seahawks and Bengals is usually Richard Sherman's on the left side of the field, like all game long. They had him covering AJ Green all game long.
How'd that go?
He's still getting beat. I mean, I don't know where AJ Green's stats were, but.
That the guy he's the best cornerback in the NFL, right?
The best corner in the game!
Yeah.
AJ Green isn't a sorry receiver.
Against the Panthers, they don't worry about too many receivers. So, and they're playing at home against the Seahawks.
So here's the thing. The Seahawks defense stopped the Detroit Lions offense last Monday night, and had them punt 18 times. And Russell Wilson still needed referee assistance to win the football game. That doesn't convince me. Cam Newton's a better quarterback than he is. Carolina Panthers have a good defense. Basically, all the things that are used to defend Russell Wilson and his outing this year, in this campaign in 2015, is the very same thing that Cam Newton deals with, and he's undefeated. I talked myself into it. I'm picking the Panthers. That's right, I said it. Panthers! What? Weasel's like, that's okay. He'll just fall for the day.
No.
Right, next, you got the Chargers at the Packers.
Weasel.
Anyway,
anybody?
I see. It is.
Anybody?
I wouldn't go that far, but.
I would.
I'll stick with the Packers on it.
Chris.
Yeah, Packers.
I told you. The Chargers are that soft that even the Packers defense, which is much improved this year, will crush them. I have no doubt of it. Watch me get it wrong, but at least then we all get it wrong together.
Yeah.
Chris.
You got the Ravens at the Niners.
Wow.
What a horrible game.
The Ravens' wide receiver core is kind of depleted right now.
Yeah.
And bet so the Niners. The Niners have been playing, I think, decent well. So, I'll pick the Niners for this.
It's not decent. It's not well. It's decent well. Chris.
Yeah, with the Ravens losing the game this yesterday the way they did, it's just
with a butt catch.
Niners, they look like they're getting things going. I think Lynch is going to have an issue with, or you know, Flacco's going to have an issue with Lynch.
Lynch,
right? If the Niners stay with their game plan of dumping it and then just take their periodic shots down the field, and then heavy dose of Carlos Hyde, I got the Niners.
You know, at the risk of being called a homer, it's the depleted Ravens defense that makes me as we make this decision. Wait. No. Yeah, but the Niners secondary sucks. Flacco's gonna do what he did last week, and Kaepernick. What? You know,
tough, isn't it, man?
I'm going Ravens. I don't care. Ravens. I'm not a homer. Boom. Both of you two were on an episode of The Simpsons, and I'm at home watching it. Ravens.
You got the Patriots at the Colts.
Anybody?
The Playgate 2.0.
Well, if Matt Hasselbeck plays.
No. I can see your smile, so you're like, ha-ha, gotcha! Gotcha, Mitchell!
Yeah, Patriots. Yeah.
If Matt
Hasselbeck plays, they still lose. I got the Patriots. Monday night, you got the Giants at the Eagles.
Giants and Eagles. Looks like the Eagles kind of felt figured some stuff out in the for their offense. So I guess I'll go with the Eagles.
Chris,
I'm going Herbert because of Sam Bradford against the Giants. I'm going Giants just because they can shut down those running backs like they have minus this last week. But they can shut down DeMarco Murray. They can shut down Ryan Matthews. They can shut Darren Sproles down. Make Sam Bradford with his lostness out there when he's looking, he's going to be just distraught. So I'm going Giants.
So what this boils down to is the Eagles tore up a garbage defense. And going into Sunday night, the Giants were the number one run defense. Which means that the Giants will dare Sam Bradford to beat them. I got the Giants. I said it! Hey, Weasel. I'm creeping up. And this time I mean it.
First, in order to creep up, you first have to get those wins. And then you're creeping up.
Why does it got to be like, I talk smack on myself first. Why don't you keep it up? That's just mean.
Just keeping it real.
One of my favorite lines of yours. That's not nice. Chris.
Well, we lose about 4 different games this week.
Awesome.
Haters.
You have, let's see here, one.
Oh, boy.
One, two.
I hope he doesn't have to take a shoe off for this. That's scary.
Four. You have 5 different games in the Weasel.
I'm creeping up.
But there's some that are different with the same as Weasel, but different for me, too, so it's...
We shall see, folks. Of course, you've checked out the student of the game here this week. Good times all the way around. Lots of crazy games, lots of craziness. I mean, you know, there's so many games that seem simple but just aren't, right? I'm playing in a survivor pool, and I'm hanging on for dear life to not have a heart attack watching the Falcons and Redskins. Screw it. Anyways, of course, if you want to avoid a heart attack and just have some fun, talk to the personality of the show on Twitter at WeaselTheSOTG. Weasel Wears.
Yeah, boy.
And, of course, the local hero, Chris Rankin, at Hydraulic Upright, UPRIT. On Twitter, of course, me, Kyle Nash, the student of the game. You can find me on Twitter at the SOTG. Check out ngsesports.com, my weekly piece, The Matchup Mania, to tell you which games are most worth your time in the coming Sunday. And of course, go to the NGSC Sports YouTube page. Check out the videos there. I work on the Sports Symposium. Symposio. What is that? Sounds like a new Apple device. The Symposio by Apple. Yeah, anyways. So the Sports Symposium on the NGSC Sports YouTube page, featuring, of course, our good friend Demosthenes Euclid from Hilarity by default. Check that out. That's a good time all the way around. But until next time, friends, class dismissed.